Continental Tires, AFL Trade Radio. The Early Trade for Tyre Power, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer, keeping you safe on the roads. And for Bunnings, find out how Bunnings Trade can help your business at bunnings.com.au/trade.
Very good morning to you and welcome to day two of Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. We'd love for you to join in the conversation for the next couple of hours. You can call us on the Kogan Mobile open line on 1300 23 55 48 or you can text us this year. They're flooding through already. We'll answer your questions as best we can throughout the morning. 0419 187 323. The 926 goal superstar, the five-time All-Australian from the Essendon Football Club and an expert in this space joins me this morning and throughout the next two and a bit weeks, Matthew Lloyd. Lordo, good morning.
Yep, morning, Kane. Yeah, great to be with you this morning. And it is an exciting time of the year for so many clubs that have been out of it for probably 4 or 5 weeks now. This is a time that you try and make a move and try and improve your list. And that's what you have to do. There's only one winner at the end of the day, and that's Melbourne. And we're all chasing it. The rest of the competition is chasing them. And I knew the excitement for me as a footballer came when, you know, when a trade comes through and a new player joins your club and you're always asking how you can improve and things like that. And that's what they'll be doing. Even the Western Bulldogs will be asking themselves, okay, we were good, but we still lost by 74 points from the best. So how can we improve our list? So, yeah, it's exciting times.
What did you make? I haven't had a chance to speak to you since the grand final. We did the Sunday footy show, but in depth about, as you were sort of watching at home or wherever you watched the game from, halfway through the third quarter, the Western Bulldogs, did you think it was theirs, Laura? Like, what were the emotions and the twists and turns and momentum swings in that game? How did you, what did you make of it?
So I was calling the game with Jimmy Bartel and Lee Matthews, and I remember saying that the Demons at the moment are like, I love my cricket. And I said, they need a wicket. Like, it's like they need something to engage them and lift them. And it's one goal. Melbourne need a goal here to get the momentum back. I didn't know where the next goal was coming from. It ticked over 30 minutes. So Ben Brown kicked the goal at the 8-minute mark of the second quarter. They hadn't kicked one from that whole period until they got the Bailey Fritch goal. So I thought the Dogs potentially were one goal away from pushing it to 25 and breaking a little bit of the spirit. But in hindsight, you probably look at the way Melbourne finished the game and the power of their midfield. And I look at it, they made Brisbane's midfield look really second rate in the first final. It was 35 points, but it should have been probably 65. They made Geelong's midfield look second rate. And you got to play four quarters against Melbourne, otherwise they get you at some point. I know hindsight's an easy, but it only took one goal. It went back to the centre bounce. They just burst out the front of the stoppage again and again and again. So maybe they were going to overwhelm the Western Bulldogs eventually, Kane, the way the game went. But it's amazing how that one goal changed everything for Melbourne just to get some momentum and some confidence back.
All year we spoke, if they had one weakness, Melbourne, it was their lack of scoring. And then all of a sudden they've kicked 140 in a grand final and they've kicked 125 in a prelim final. It's one of the best offensive displays we've ever seen in a final series. What do you put that down to, Lordo? Because we spoke about it in depth about, I don't know, lack of chemistry and personnel. Is it Brown? What are they going to do with, is it McDonald with that forward structure? And they've just gone whack and kicked 140 points and 16 out of the last 17 goals in a grand final. Is that just the chemistry of playing together? Or did Simon Goodwin just get the mix right late in the season and it all came together?
I used to feel a lot of pressure to kick a score for my team. That was my role to kick. I think it'd be nice to go down to that Melbourne forward line. There's no real pressure on anybody to do anything spectacular. It's they had 12 goal kickers. Bailey Fritch kicks his six. He had an unbelievable game. But the way Ben Brown has to play and McDonald, all they do is really bring the ball to ground, create a contest. But I think it'd be a nice forward line to play. And when this is one of the most dominant midfields we've seen, Kane. And I look at it, they had plus 15 inside 50s. So the ball just lives in there. And it overwhelms opposition defences. And the scores from stoppage, I think, was it against the Geelong? They scored around 100.
101, I think. Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at it. It was 60 to 21 scores from stoppages in the grand final again. So I think the midfield takes so much pressure off that forward line. They get so many goals from midfielders. And I watched Easton Wood and those guys. they were just overwhelmed in the end by the ball just coming in. Even from previous notes I've done, at halftime of the Brisbane final, they were plus 30 points up, at plus 7 inside 50s, plus 16 contested possession against Geelong. They were 29 points up at halftime, plus 12 inside 50s, plus 21 contested possession. So their midfield just is destructive. And that's what I want to talk about you later in the program around what the rest of the competition has to try and catch up to a number of these Melbourne midfielders who have taken the game to a new level. And with a ruckman that's arguably one of the best we've seen.
And a young up-and-comer that's going to be, it just gives them that point of difference. And I mean, this is why this period is so important for clubs. It's an obvious thing to say. But we've got a massive morning coming up through until 9 o'clock this morning. Marty Pass is going to join us, one of the prominent player agents. So we'll get to him. If you've got any questions for Marty about how the trade process works, about any of his clients, we'll go through in depth and have a look at that. We're going to look at the midfield situation at other clubs. So Melbourne have got two of the most powerful midfielders in the competition, and that's Petrarca and Oliver, who were picked early in the draft. Your club, does your club have two that can develop into that? And if you don't, how do you get them? Because clearly with the new rules, the 6-6 and 6, out of centre bounce and how teams are scoring, if you don't have at least one of those, and probably two, you're at a significant disadvantage. So everyone will be on the hunt for those two. We'll get through all of that. All the news of the day, Stephen Silvani had some really strong things to say yesterday on the late trade about Sam Petrefsky-Seaton and his work rate. Want to work through that with Matthew Lloyd. But once again, if you've got a question for us, 0419 187 323, send us a text. But even better, jump on the phone nice and early and engage in joining the conversation on the Kogan Mobile Open Line, 1300 23 55 48. So we did 2.5 weeks last year, as we always do, Lordo, and the big stories I thought last year were the Collingwood Footy Club and the fallout from the dramatic salary cap purge, I guess, and also Essendon. Now there was, and this is a club that you're a legend at and you follow closely, clearly, about what they were going to do last year. This time last year, the three players go out, felt like the walls were caving in a little bit. There was questions about, can Ben Rutten coach after the succession plan and what the culture was like with the players leaving. They could have gone and got Dunkley and they could have paid a heavy price. Some were saying at the time, two top 10 draft picks for him. They didn't. And they probably won the trade period last year, I reckon, Lordo. How do you see them building on what they did last year? Because you were strong on the fact they've got to treat this year like they finished ninth.
Yeah, it's interesting, Kane. I think they feel they're confident enough in their midfield. I wouldn't know how Caldwell plays, to be honest. I haven't seen enough of him because of his injuries and being at the Giants. But there's still, some are asking, will they go for Dunkley again, have another crack at Josh Dunkley?
Would you?
What I didn't like about Josh, there was three kicks in the grand final at critical times where he turned the footy over. So it's interesting, on the Sunday footy show, we asked Clayton Oliver about his season, and he said, where's Mark Williams? He got straight to me, and he said, kicking's not good enough. Yeah. Your kicking is not good enough. And as good as Clayton had been, he'd been a handballer. I know you'd spoken a lot about that. He handballs a lot, hardly kicks. But he's become an elite kick in the space of 12 months. So Mark Williams is arguably the best recruit Melbourne had in 12 months, because they went from a team that just hacked the ball inside forward 50 to a team that was elite. Clayton's hitting it on the inside of his boot, the outside of his boot, he's weighting the ball. And I saw Josh Dunkley, his kicking just hurt. And yes, they do need another big-bodied midfielder, because I think Parrish and Merritt are amazing. Jake Stringer's sensational, but they're probably not a big midfield, which we're going to talk to about. But I think where I'm interested in, mine is a watch this space on what Essendon and St Kilda do in terms of picks for next season, because I think the Ben King key forward, Peter Wright and Aaron Francis, were the key forwards in a final. So many flaws were exposed in this year's final series. Like, it's amazing how so many teams were just found out badly. Like Geelong were through the midfield.
Port Adelaide
were exposed badly. Even Brisbane, they keep getting there. They get found out. Essendon in the first week of the finals, found out. And I think you couldn't expect to win a final with Aaron Francis and Peter Wright as your two key forwards. And so St Kilda think they've got him, Kane. That's the talk. They feel like, the talk in Melbourne is that they feel like they've had him and that they will get Ben King. That's the talk. But I just wonder whether you'll see Essendon try and get their picks forward for next season just so they're in that window. Because he's the player that they are crying out for and could take them to the promised land.
What devastating for Gold Coast to already be hearing that talk. And then they've got no really leg to stand on, really, with their lack of success. And, you know, we've spoken at length, and Gary Lyon was hot on it, and you were hot on it about Ben King not finishing Gold Coast top 10 in the best and fairest. But to see Lynch win a premiership that had come from Gold Coast, to see Prestia do the same, and now to see Stephen May do the same, there are probably a number of Gold Coast players like Ben King going, well, am I going to win it here, or am I going to do what Prestia and May and Lynch have done and leave and win the premiership back in Victoria? So it's just going to be almost impossible for them to keep them. And then you've got Lukosius and Rankin and all those players that you've spoken about throughout the year that are out of contract at the end of 2022. So Gold Coast have a really strong draft hand again, 3-19-22. What does that mean? Not much, because they've had that in the past. It's more about how they can keep their players. Does Alistair Clarkson help in that? I don't know, Lordo, but they'll be trying everything they possibly can to hear Alistair Clarkson speak that he's probably going to have itchy feet around July next year. Is going to make a lot of coaches nervous, and Stewie Jew would absolutely be one of those. And is Alistair Clarkson the thing that potentially can sway those players to stay? Get involved and join in the conversation with us. 1-300-23-55-48, Kogan Mobile Open Line. Bombers fans, you've got a great here. If you've got a question about what they do this year to improve their list and go one step further, let us know your thoughts. So just on that, in terms of the forward line for next year, because they're not getting Ben King clearly this year. Lordo, I spoke with Mitch Cleary yesterday. And we were just floating ideas. It wasn't necessarily an opinion. Is it a stopgap, someone that can come in, a bigger body? Mason Cox's name comes up just because he appears like he's available for one season until you have a crack at Ben King or you go to the draft and recruit a big key forward. What would you do in the immediate future?
Well, Jones got injured late in the year, Harrison Jones, and I think if they can put another 3 kilos onto him, he looks a really good player. I really like the look of him, and probably the best prospect they've had second to Danaher in a long, long time. So he looks the goods. But still, yeah, probably a couple of years away from holding down a forward line. But, yeah, he looks fantastic, so I wouldn't want to take games away from him. So I'd just stick with Peter Wright and Harrison Jones, Jake Stringer, and surround themselves more so than bringing the likes of Mason Cox into the club.
Mm. Yeah. If there's one thing your club needs to do in this trade period, what is it? If you could only do one thing, let us know what that would be and what success looks like for you. For example, for the Hawks, it's probably getting another pick in. Well, they're 5-21-24. You'd love Hawthorn to get another top 15 pick into the mix there to keep rebuilding. For the Saints, reading this morning about they're looking to bring in another draft pick. They've got 9-46, so somewhere between that 9-20, can they get another pick in with the lack of young talent that they've been able to accumulate with going after these experienced players that have played at other clubs? What's the one thing you want your club to do? 0419 187 323. What does success look like in this trade period for you? With the Dunkley one, there's a couple of texts coming through on that, Lordo. So was it a blessing in the end? I remember sitting here last time saying the Western Bulldogs should trade him. You should trade Josh Dunkley right now because he's never going to be worth as much as he is right now. He wanted to leave, and you could potentially get, you know, 2 first-round draft picks for a player that, you know, probably not worth 2 first-round draft picks. How would the Western Bulldogs feel about that? Would there be any regrets about not doing it? And how does he, you know, in terms of where he goes to from here, he's out of contract at the end of next year, I think, so it's going to be a big one for him, and the Western Bulldogs have a lot. But should the Dogs have traded him in hindsight?
In hindsight, yes, I think, Kane, yeah. Because he's become maybe number six midfielder in their team. And it's the reason that the Giants, I remember, weren't fussed to let Dylan Shield go, because he's our number six. I think that's where Dunkley, so he would suit someone else big time to come in and a big body. But at the Western Bulldogs, with Treloar now in the mix, Bailey Smith coming through, Liberatore doing what he's done, McRae, Hunter, Bontempelli, the list goes on and on. So I think he's one. So that they might want to look at themselves and go, okay, we kept him last year, but how can we improve our list. I look at the Dogs and say, I reckon Cordy, Gardner, don't cut it as a number two key defender. So Keith is holding up fine, but Keith still isn't in the Lever May areas.
And he's nearing 30 as well. 30. And Easton Wood has had six kicked on him in the grand final.
Yep. So they need to look at it and go, okay, we've probably got one too many midfielders. So how can we get a ruckman in and how can we get a key backman in? So that's the type of thinking that I'd be going if I'm at the Western Wood. And for all clubs, what have we got too much of? Mm. And everyone might go, how are you letting him go? But it's to bolster another area of your football club. And the other one when we're talking forwards, Kane, is Jack Gunston. I'd love to know where he sits within this because, you know, I hear that he wanted out, but maybe he's going to stay because of maybe a deal not coming through or he's interesting. He won last year's best and fairest, but this year he didn't play. So the worth of Jack Gunston is a really interesting one because he's a hard one to judge because he hardly played footy this year.
Jamie's given us a call nice and early. Thanks for kicking us off this morning. Jamie, you want to speak about the Hawks? Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me. I do want to talk about the Hawks and where their list is at. I agree with what you were saying about Jack Gunston. I think that if he wants to try and win a premiership somewhere else, I think that time is now for him. He should go, you know, somewhere, maybe a Port Adelaide or, you know, even a Sydney or somewhere like that where he's got a chance to win a premiership. As for the Hawks list, I think it's that time for them to do a clean out. Give guys like, you know, Jager. I think Jager should be the Hawks' next captain. That's just my opinion on him. But I think guys like Mitchell, maybe even, what's his name? The guy from Port Adelaide.
Or Wingard.
Impey, even Schill, you know, some of these other guys and get some top picks in through the door because obviously those guys are not going to be a part of Hawthorn's next premiership tilt. But, you know, they sold the farm, so really, you know, neither here nor there.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jamie. I think clearly their priority will be in the draft, but it's just getting that balance right when you are rebuilding about who needs to stick around to be that experience. It can't be all or nothing. I think we saw that at Adelaide in 2020. You get rid of every experienced player, you win three games for the year. So there needs to be some balance. Sam Mitchell is going to want to win probably 7 or 8 games next year to be competitive most weeks, but also have an eye on the future. If I was the Hawks, they need one more draft pick between 5 and that 21. So how can they get that and which players are interested, other clubs interested in? This is the Early Trade for Tyre Power. We're up and running. Heaps of your texts coming through. We'll work our way through those on the other side of this. We're here to help you safe, stay on the road, and for Bunnings Trade, helping businesses is their trade. Plenty more coming up. If you want to get involved, that number's 1300 23 55 48.
You're listening to Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. Continental Tires, when everything counts, counts on Continental. The Early Trade for Tire Power. Tire Power, tire experts you should always trade with. And for Bunnings, Bunnings Trade, helping business is their trade.
1300 23 55 48 is the Kogan Mobile open line. This is the Early Trade, Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio, day 2 up and running. Craig's in Tassie and he wants to speak about the Bulldogs. Hey Craig, thanks for your call.
Hey boys, I've got a few things. Just about the grand final. Talking about Woody as well before. No disrespect to Woody's been a great player, but I think he's a bit cooked. And who would come through? I don't understand how Hayden Crozier didn't get a game in his side on the weekend. I think Hayden Crozier has been a good player, and I don't know what's going on with him down there. And should they look at Laddams from Adelaide to help English? Because I think Martin's not cutting it unless he has been. And who would come in to take over Wood? Would it be like a Booker Karmas or something like that?
Yeah, Craig, I think you make some good points, and that's something that they have to look at. On Crozier, I think that when you've got Bailey Dale and Caleb Daniel, they sort of play a similar role. They're pretty aggressive halfbacks, and Crozier's similar, so you can't have three of them, I wouldn't have thought, in that side. Wood, was there to shut down Bailey Fritsch, and unfortunately he wasn't able to do it. He got found out by Charlie Cameron also in that first final, where he had three goals kicked on him before they had to, you know, change it over to Taylor Duray. So Duray's also in front of Hayden Crozier. So you got plenty of players in that position. Wood's up against it, probably to hold his spot next year. He needs to get sharper if he can. He needs to work at his agility. As you get older, you need to work even harder and harder at your game to stay involved. I'm really interested in where Kane sees Laddams, because Steph Martin's going to be 35. So I'd make a decision on Steph Martin. Do we go with Steph Martin next year, or was it just 1 year? He helped us get to a grand final, but I'm not sure he can go with the likes of these young ruckmen moving forward. Tim English is an interesting one. It's been reports this morning in the Herald Sun that he's going to wait till the middle of next year before he signs. His partner has signed a 2-year deal with the West Coast Fever and the Super Netball, so they have to be really careful that they're not going to potentially lose him, Kane. So is Laddams ever going to be a number one ruckman, in your opinion, Kane?
You're hesitant to say definitively yes or no, because how many times have we seen ruckman sort of blossom at that 26, 27 years of age? So he's still only 23. He has been exposed against the bigger rucks. I remember there was a game, Port Adelaide played Collingwood at the MCG earlier on this year, and Grundy was just dominant, just all over him. He actually responded quite well. This was when Scott Lysett was out. 202 centimetres, he's big enough. I think he would need to put some size on. 23 years of age, he's quite mobile and athletic, and he can follow up and get the ball at ground level. He's a high possession ruckman. So I think, yes, he has the capabilities to be a number one ruckman, but he's not going to be a top echelon number one ruckman. I don't think he's got the hit-out craft that some of the other rucks have, and I don't think he has the touch, but he'll follow up, he'll tackle, he'll win enough of the footy. And the thing that he does have going for him is he's not a genuine forward, clearly, but he actually can go forward and give you a taller target, a little bit like what Max Gawn has done. I know Gawn kicked 5 in a prelim, but Max Gawn isn't a natural goal kicker across the history of his career so far, but Laddams can rest forward. So, yeah, I think he has the capabilities, and he's not going to cost you a lot. You know, he's probably an early third, late second round draft pick for one of those clubs that need a ruck. So I'd definitely be exploring that. Good on you, Craig, down in Tassie. Thanks for your thoughts. Callum's in Hobart. You want to chat about the Crows? Callum, good morning.
Good morning, guys. I just wanted to... I won't go into Jordan Dawson, because that looks like it's probably going to get done. I just wanted to hear your thoughts around... Basically, it looks like the Crows have the two bookends for the next decade, basically, in Butts and Hillthorpe.
Hillthorpe, yeah.
I feel like we've missed the chance, obviously, to get Horn now. It won't happen. North Melbourne will get him. And really, we've been looking so much into South Australian talent. I don't think that pick four probably gets us the quality of a Horn in the midfield. So what are your thoughts about even looking for future picks around the pick four mark, and just trying to entice a team like a Gold Coast or something like that out of their picks? And just looking away from this year, because it just looks like it's Victorian talent and Western Australian talent after Jason Horn.
Yeah, I get frustrated when clubs only look for homegrown talent. Like, Ollie Wines wins a Brownlow medal, and he's, you know, he was as staunch as anyone that he's not coming to Adelaide. And, you know, it's going to be 2 years, I'm going to go home. It's going to be 4 years, I'm going to go home. He just signed a 6-year contract extension and won a Brownlow medal, and he's never looked happier in terms of the club that he's at. So if you've got pick four and you're only going to narrow your focus to South Australian talent because you've been burnt by players that have left before, it is a ridiculous handicap strategy that you're going with. So just pick the best player, for goodness sake, at pick four, and back your own system. You've got Darren Burgess coming in as an elite high-performance boss. You've got Matthew Nix, who clearly has great character and has resonated with the club. You've got a new CEO in Tim Silvers, who's come from the Hawthorn model. Just back in your system to pick the best Victorian or Western Australian, wherever they are, and and make sure you keep them. I wouldn't be hamstrung, Lordo, to be only looking at South Australians with that pick number four.
Oh, I'm with you, because Rory Sloane's Victorian, isn't he, as well?
Correct.
That's been there, and now your captain, Callum. And I must be, I'm right across the Victorian young talent. I get to coach against them every Saturday, and there's a couple of absolute beauties that will go around your pick at four and would be phenomenal midfielders for the next 15 years. One's Finn Callaghan. He's 6 foot three, so my height, and he moves beautifully as a left footer, just glides across the field. And I'm hearing the clubs are all trying to jockey to move up to try and get him. Fremantle want him. North, I've heard, even were considering looking at him as a number one draft pick. So that's how good he is. So there's plenty out. There's another boy by the name of Josh Ward, who's just not as big, but a dynamic midfielder who just keeps getting it. So there's so many good selections for the Crows as inside midfielders to take at that pick.
Yeah, that's what they need, bigger inside midfielder who can actually break away from stoppage. And then you got Jordan Dawson for that ball use front of centre. So Crows will be very active, you would think, in improving their list. This is the Kogan Mobile open line for Kogan Mobiles. Make the call and switch to Kogan Mobile today. Max is in Williams Landing. You want to speak about Carlton and what they do with pick six, Maxie?
Yes, I actually want to talk about two things. One is Petrovsky Seaton. I'm a bit disappointed that he has to go, that he's wanting to go back home. I mean, we didn't really develop him that much, but I think he's been playing in the wrong position. He should have been playing where he was picked to play. And I think that starts with the coach and the coaching staff previously. With pick six, I don't think Chera would be worth that much, because I don't know... we haven't seen much of Chera, and secondly, I think a draft pick would have been nice to go into the draft and pick start a new player, a better player up, or someone that you can develop. Because with Chera, he's only got 3 Brownlow votes, and I don't know how good he is in terms of where he finished with his best and fairest, if we're just looking at those particular things to determine pick six for him.
Max, I'll start while Kane looks up Adam Chera's numbers for us. But I wasn't sure on it. I've seen Adam come through as a junior footballer too. But what I saw from Chera in the last 10 games of this season got me excited if I'm a Carlton supporter. So I saw Chera, start to get 30 disposals in games and break and spread and all the things you want from elite midfielders. I'd be pretty pumped. He is the gem in this trade period. He is the Rolls Royce. He's the class above any other player that's available. And he's exactly what Carlton need. So rather than take someone that you are hoping will be okay, I think we know what Chera's going to do. He's done a 50-game apprenticeship, and he gets to walk into Carlton's side. And it's exactly what they need. Cripps is Cripps. He's inside, but doesn't give you a lot on the outside. Walsh isn't a massive midfielder. Williams wasn't the answer. You've tried Kennedy, Setterfield. They're B, C grade midfielders. For me, Chera, you give that pick and you get excited that he comes and joins Carlton. That's my thoughts, Kane.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you on it, Lordo. I know you're spending some time in Perth and running into a few people that are involved in the Fremantle Footy Club. They're so flat to lose him. So they rate him so highly, and they've built their whole rebuild around this midfield with Darcy and Sarong and Brayshaw and Chera. And then you've got Fife and Mundy and Walt, that experience and the veterans around them that have actually been pushed out of the midfield to give these guys the opportunity. So they're really disappointed to lose him. They rate him highly, and I'm with you, because he is that bigger one. Well, Sarong's a small midfielder, but he's good and he's aggressive, and he's going to be a good player. And Brayshaw and Chera were those bigger bodies through there. So they're flat to lose him. And I think they're also going to be going all out this trade period to try and find a midfielder, a ready-made one. I'm not sure they want to go to the draft just to replace Chera and take that 3, 4, 5 years to get in the position that he was in. So I think for Carlton, I'd be really excited about that. We're going to speak about Sam Petrovsky Seaton, Max, on the other side of this. So Tom's on the line, so stick around. He wants to chat about Ben King. And Stephen Silvani, former list manager of the Carlton Footy Club, had some really strong things to say about Sam Petrovsky Seaton. We'll get to that next. If you want to jump on the phone, the Kogan Mobile open line is 1300 23 55 48.
You're listening to Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. Continental Tires, when everything counts, counts on Continental. The Early Trade for Tyre Power. Tyre Power, tyre experts you should always trade with. And for Bunnings, Bunnings Trade. Helping business is their trade.
Very good morning to you and welcome into the Early Trade. If you're just tuning in, plenty on the agenda this morning. We're going to speak to prominent player agent Marty Pass. He's going to join us very, very shortly. You've got a question for Marty, you can send us a text. We'll do our best to put that to him on 0419 187 323. Even better, if you want to give us a buzz on the Kogan Mobile Open Line, that's 1300 2355 48, like Thomas in Oakley has done, and he wants to speak about Gold Coast Ben King. Welcome, Tom.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks.
Good. I've just heard you speaking about Ben King and the Saints before, and I have reservations about Saints trying to get him, particularly after the weekend, because if you don't have a midfield that can kick it down to the forward line, the two awesome key forwards don't do very much, as you can sort of see by the Western Bulldogs game, and we would have to give up at least two first-round picks to get him when our midfield is middle of the range. I wanted your thoughts on whether you think it's a good idea for the Saints to even chase Ben King, or if it's just a romantic thing because we've got his twin brother and that's why they want to do it.
It's a good point you make, Thomas, around the midfield at St Kilda, because it still is an issue after Jack Steele, who is the next best midfielder at St Kilda. And it drops a fair bit. You know, Dunstan's been moved on. Seb Ross, where he's at with the football club. Brad Crouch is a good player, but not a great player.
Billings,
yeah, he's signed for 4 years, but had so many issues. Brad Hill, you know, goes missing in a lot of games when they get shut down. So I think that is their biggest area. And I also ask, who's the last forward line that's had two 202-centimetre forwards that's worked? Like, it's just, we've never seen it before. And
how did it work at school footy? Tell us about that.
It was good. It was good at school footy because they do, I called them the big cracker brothers in a sense. They knew where each other were. They never got in each other's way. And we, at Sandringham Dragons, Ben King played centre-half back, Max King centre-half forward. At Victoria, Ben King centre-half back, Max King centre-half forward. And I said, no, let's load up. Let's load up and go.
That's unlike you as a forward.
Yeah, I said, let's load up and we'll go both of them centre-half forward, full forward. They were 50 metres away from each other all the time. And they just,
right.
And they'd, Max King would always be the one that would go to the goal square more so. And Ben would roam. And they worked really, really well together. Unfortunately, we had they had them together as a year 11, but in round one of the year 12 year together, that's when Max did his knee for us in round one of the season. Ben went on to kick 11 that day. But they do get out of each other's way. But what I'd be worried about, they both want to be forwards. So the last thing any of those two want to be is at centre-half back. And I just wonder whether one of them would end up having to go there, more so Ben, because some days it wouldn't work with two of them in the forward. So that's what they've got to really think about. Yeah, I also felt for the Rocker brothers. One plays poorly. How are the Rocker brothers going? I love that they've formed their own identity at their own clubs rather than being sometimes heaped in the same basket as the King brothers.
Saints fans, what do you reckon? Can you load up the forward line? Probably going to cost you $2 million out of your salary cap over a number of years and a couple of first round draft picks to get them. But gee, it's exciting. Because of how agile they both are, and they can just win the ball below their knees, and neither of them have developed into their bodies. And how would Lever and May defend King twins? Like, it just poses so many problems for opposition defences. So I think it would be well worth pursuing it. And we may not have seen it before because it just hasn't been two players like them with those capabilities and athletic accomplishments that they have. Stephen Silvani on the late trade with Matthew Rendell, Damian Barrett in a couple of days will be joining them. I had some really strong things to say about a former player that he probably recruited, and that's Sam Petrescu-Seaton yesterday.
What I do know about Sam is I haven't been there for a couple of years, but he certainly enjoyed his time at the Carlton Football Club. So there must have been a big turnaround in the last sort of 12, 18 months to think that he wants to go home, because he he's always wanted to play his football in Victoria, but for whatever reason, he's swaying to go back west. I mean, I think the difficulty is his best is very, very good, and then he hasn't played great footy this year. It's been a strange year for him because initially when we selected Sam, we saw him as a mid forward or a forward mid. He's pretty much spent his time the last 2 years down back. And then my understanding is when he's been dropped to go back and play VFL, he's played midfield and he's done well through the midfield. And then when he's been brought up, he really hasn't played midfield. So I think the difficulty with the Blues is trying to find that right mix in that centre square. They found it really difficult to be able to get their younger players through there.
Is he a hard worker?
Yeah, I think he is. I think a lot of young players coming through, there's an element of maturity. Mm. I wouldn't say he's elite in terms of his preparation. I haven't heard that, but I wouldn't say he's a poor worker. He always looks fit. I guess the difficulty for him is that when he does come home, it's Halls Creek. There's not a lot you can sort of do up there. But he brings effort. There's certainly some stuff in his game that he's got to clean up. But you know, he's only, what is he? He's 22 years of age. Still a baby. Mm. He should be coming into his prime.
He's perfect for West Coast. They need someone like that in the midfield.
Your thoughts on him wanting to leave? Probably not surprised, Lord Owen. What Carlton should expect to get back will definitely not be what they paid to get him.
No, I'm not. I wouldn't be too phased if I was Carlton, to be honest. He's another one that I've seen as a junior, and everything he did was good, but he didn't leave his area like that often. Like in terms of he'd work within a 50-metre, 60-metre radius where you're watching Sam Walsh, and he's running 150, 200 metres. So I look at, you know, Soss spoke about him being a forward midfielder. I look at the forwards that play. You look at the way Waitman plays and Pickett plays and Tom Papley plays. And they're just dynamic, hard-working forwards. And then you look at the midfielders. Could you imagine Petrovsky Seaton going up against Petrarca? And you look at the benchmarks and Bontempelli. I can see why Carlton, maybe he was messed around a little bit, but I can see why they settled him on a half-back flank, because you can sort of put him back there and they read the play, and it's sort of the easiest position probably to play on the ground. So I don't think he competes hard enough, and I don't think he's looked as fit as what some AFL players have been. So I can understand why he leaves the club and he looks for greater opportunity. But unless he changes, from what I'm seeing from afar, I don't think it'll change from whichever club he goes to. What's your thoughts? Because to me, I just don't see an urgency.
He doesn't defer. That many times we do a couple of segments on Footy Classified where you look really closely at what players are doing off the ball, and he does not defend. He just has not wanted to defend, and you just can't get away with it. Whether you're playing as a forward, whether you're playing as a midfielder or a defender, if you don't defend, you won't survive in the game. And I can absolutely see why David Teague and Carlton were frustrated with him. And a lot of Carlton fans say, we used a top 10 pick to get him and we're playing him out of position. Maybe that was out of desperation because they had sat him down and said, this is what we need from you. And he refused to deliver that. So you try and hide him in different areas. But he has given up at times this year when the opposition have had the footy. Now, he's 23 years of age. I certainly wouldn't be giving up on him. And I think he's a really nice get for West Coast because they don't have anyone in that age bracket between probably 30 and, you know, the age that he's at 23. So he's well worth a shot and he's not going to cost them a lot to get him. But yeah, I think Carlton need a complete reset with the culture of the footy club. And if players don't want to buy in when they don't have the footy, they're probably better off being at another club. Coming up next, the first edition of Continental Ties AFL Trade Radio. It's Lordo's List. We'll do that next.
You're listening to Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. Continental Tires, when everything counts, counts on Continental. The Early Trade for Tire Power. Tire Power, tire experts you should always trade with. And for Bunnings. Bunnings Trade, helping business is their trade. Lloydie's List for 4D Garage Doors. Smarter, quieter, safer. Garage doors redefined. Discover more at 4ddoors.com.au.
Yeah, he's the best in the business. It is the list that you want to listen to. Must say, it gets a little bit harder, doesn't it, Lauder, to come up with a topic in about 12 to 13 days' time. So we'll get creative with the list, but you've been on fire with this throughout Trade Radio for a long period of time. What is the topic this morning?
Kane, I thought I'd look back on last year's trade period and the five winners in terms of not having to give up much, but they've improved their list.
Yeah,
so you can be really creative here, and I just want to go back and revisit some deals where you go, oh, what a steal that was for not giving up much. So in number five, Kano, I've looked at the Tom Hickey deal. So he was brilliant for Sydney this year. He was the number one ruckman, and really they gave away not much at all. So Sydney got Hickey, pick 34 and 60. So, and then in return, West Coast got 58, 62, a future second and future third. So it's pretty much
got him for free.
So yeah. Pick five, so number five, the win, and he becomes a number one ruckman for your football club. Number four, I've got Nick Hind. So Hind, Essendon got Hind and pick 77, and the Saints got pick 67 and 74. So another one that they got for free, and you'd say nearly he had the season probably better than Adam Saad in a sense.
Yeah, well, so they've lost Saad, and they got in the end they got a big price for Saad, and they've replaced him for nothing, and then used the pick for Saad to go to the draft and get a young player who's going to be there for 12 years.
Exactly. So a massive win. So just showing what you can potentially do in this area. Adam Chalor was probably in the best three for his club on grand final day, and we look at that one. They pretty much got him for a future second rounder. That's what the pick was for Adam Chalor. So the Doggies got Chalor, pick 26, pick 33, and pick 42. And the Pies got pick 14 in the future second rounder. So when you even it out, it was Adam Chalor for a future second rounder. So it was a fire sale in the end.
And I guess you factor in that Collingwood are paying $300,000 of his salary. So you get a player that's worth $600,000 to $700,000, and you're paying him a third of that. So you've got to factor that in as well.
Number two, he could easily have been number one, Kane, is Alir Alir. So Alir Alir went for a future second rounder, and he was a All-Australian centre-half back. So what a great deal that was for the Port Adelaide Football Club, and not sure what went on, whether it was money, whether Sydney didn't see this in him, but an outstanding recruitment for Port Adelaide.
Yeah, no doubt. He was enormous for them and caused the opposition a lot of headaches to the point where, they tagged him in a prelim final and he didn't have the impact that he would have liked. I think the next progression for him is to really stand up in those big games or those high-pressure games against the best teams. A couple of occasions this year against the top four sides, his performance dropped off. But from where he had come from at Sydney, I think they mucked around with him a little bit at the Swans. They played him ruck. They played him forward. They'd never settled him in a position. It was a great deal for Port Adelaide, and that was one area they needed to bolster, and they did. And now they look to other areas like the midfield of how they're going to address their list this offseason.
Because a future second round is like a lottery. Who knows? It's going to be around the 30s, 40s. You rarely get a 200-game player out of that. So great deal. And I've got Ben Brown, Kane, at number one because he's a premiership player, obviously. He played 13 games for Melbourne this year. They were 11 wins, one draw, one loss. So he made a real difference to them. We asked Clayton Oliver on the Sunday footy show about who surprised you most. He said what Ben Brown did for us. He made us better by the time he came in. It's not the goals he kicks, because some will say he did. How much did he do? But he made them a better side. But that deal was North. So the Melbourne got Ben Brown, pick 28 and a future fourth. North got 26, 33 and a future fourth. So you say 26 and 28 cancelled each other out. The future fourths cancelled each other out. So they got Ben Brown for pick 33, really, that in the end. So he goes from the bottom team to being a premiership key forward. So
love it.
Yeah.
Who are those players going to be this trade period? Who are those, I guess, fringe-type players at another club right now, but someone's going to identify them to play a role and come in and make an immediate impact? That was Lordy's list. Thanks to 4D Doors, smarter, quieter, safer garage doors redefined. Discover more at 4ddoors.com.au. It's time now for a trade news update.
A trade news update
for Mate Internet and Mobile. Mate, award-winning Aussie service. Mobile plans from $20.
It's a bit of news around the place. Carlton is exploring the possibility of bringing in West Coast tall Jared Brander during this trade period. He's 195 centimetres. He'll meet with the Blues this week in the hope of finding a new home with the Eagles, yet to offer him a contract for next year. He's still only 22 years of age. He played 11 senior games for the Eagles in 2021, and he's notched up 22 for his career since debuting in 2018. He's from Mildura, and he was selected with pick 13 in 2017 and was originally touted as a key forward prospect. Geelong has also expressed interest in Brander. That was a trade news update for Mate Internet and Mobile, Australia's most satisfied NBN customers. Internet from just $59. Marty Pask, prominent player agent, is going to join us on the other side of this.
You're listening to Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. Continental Tires. When everything counts, count on Continental. The Early Trade for Tyre Power, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer, keeping you safe on the roads. And for Bunnings. Find out how Bunnings Trade can help your business at bunnings.com.au/trade.
This is Continental Tyres AFL Trade Radio. You can get involved. You can follow us at Trade Radio on Twitter. Lloydie's list, the top five recruits of the 2020 trade period in terms of what you didn't have to give up much to make a huge impact. 5, Tom Hickey. 4, Nick Hine. 3, Adam Treloar. 2, Aaliyah Aaliyah. Number 1, most valuable recruit, Ben Brown, in this trade period last year. Joining us now is the Managing Director of Capital Sports Group, Marty Pasca. Marty, thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. No problems at all.
How do you attack the trade period? You're a veteran of doing it now, but what is your attitude as a player agent at this time of the year?
Well, you always to keep an open mind, but I think the key thing, like anything, I mean, it's a 12-month of the year business now where you're regularly talking and discussing, and pre-COVID, you're meeting face-to-face, but obviously that's very much changed, and you're adapting and pivoting and doing more things over Zoom and phones and whatnot in this day and age, but nothing should really surprise you coming into this end of the season, to be perfectly honest, and I think clubs and agents by and large are pretty professional now, and you've got a pretty good understanding of where things lie leading into this next couple of weeks.
So just on that, how organised are clubs and their list manager in terms of making contact with you about a potential recruit? Is it 12 months out? Does it go back longer than that? What's your experiences of when clubs first talk to you about the interest they may have in one of your players?
It differs. So it can change. It can change in the course of a season. So there might be a particular need or want that they establish that is needed throughout the year that they thought they may have had covered leading into the pre-season, and that alters. But by and large, mate, they have a really good understanding of their list and where it sits. So those sort of situations are rare, but they flag interest, I would think, sometimes well out, 12 months out of a player being out of contract if they really like that player. They might have them as a watch and somebody that they'll watch closely throughout the course of the season that they may not be getting opportunity with that particular club, and they think that they might be a best 22 player at their particular club. And it might be that go-home factor that we hear a lot about at this point in time when you do have 10 clubs in the one state and there are players spread around the country that there is always that question asked whether or not they want to come home. So there's so many different variables that go into it, but by and large, you have those conversations over a good 12-month period.
And it's not just the players, of course. I mean, the biggest story of this season was Alistair Clarkson and Sam Mitchell. Now yourself and your business partner, Peter Lenton, look after Sam. Was that the, in terms of you doing this, was that the biggest story you think you've been involved in your time?
Look, no, nothing sort of, there's always been different situations that have come out. Look, I mean, I've looked at situations over probably the last 12 years where, I mean, Brian Lake leaving Western Bulldogs and after playing nearly 200 games and going over to Hawthorn and winning 3 premierships that seemed to impact the market pretty quickly because no one sort of knew about it, and you sort of reflect a little bit on different ones. I mean, Ryan Burton leaving Hawthorn. There's a bit of a common theme here with Hawthorn. But Ryan Burton leaving Hawthorn and going to Port Adelaide, that certainly was one that sort of that sort of came up a little bit later in the piece. But I guess you've just got to be pretty flexible and understand that, we are in an industry now where there's a lot of eyeballs on it. There's a lot of people that love their football and love their football clubs and are very passionate about their football clubs. So stories do evolve and people want the news and people want to know how it all transpires and what goes on. And I think that the main thing is a lot of the time it is good intentioned. And unfortunately, there is a business side of what we do. And that's the reality of the situation. I mean, that's why I'm employed. And that's what you're designed to do is to obviously help navigate through these tricky situations as best you can and obviously give the best advice you possibly can to get the right outcome.
Marty, you just mentioned Ryan Burton, and I'll never forget 2 years ago. I was at, had my kids on school holidays at Jump Central, and we're jumping on the trampolines. The next minute, you walked in, and you had your kids there, and your head was spinning around that time because of the Ryan Burton trade at that time was about to happen. So I want to ask you, how often does it happen where did that one come out of the blue in trade period, or you could feel it was coming before that? So I want to ask, is it rare that a player's name just comes up where you called and say, we want to trade your player in this 2 week window? Is it always a build up where you can see it coming, or can they be rare like that?
Yeah, good memory, Lordy. Yeah. I actually thought you walked in an hour earlier and checked my name on the list and then thought I'll come back and get the scoop. But that can happen where I did get a sense, absolutely. And sometimes it is about connecting the dots and understanding that, well, one, there's a very good player coming in. And obviously there's a player that you know that in that situation Port Adelaide really liked. And he was an SA boy and he obviously barracked for the club. So it was one that sort of came up late in the piece, but you did have a genuine feel that, hey, reading the wind, this situation could occur. So we did flag it early in the piece that this might happen. And then it was about making sure that the player in that situation, Ryan Burton, was well looked after in the sense that if he was going to do it, it had to be a good situation for him to be able to leave. So he was contracted at Hawthorn. He'd just been given the number 5. He'd finished high in a BNF, runner-up in the Rising Star. So he'd done a lot right at Hawthorn. So if that was the right time for him to leave, well, then it needed to be a good environment for him to then leave Hawthorn and go to Port Adelaide. And to be honest, the environment in which Port Adelaide created and what they were doing at that point in time, and obviously proof's in the pudding now with the ability to play in preliminary finals and build a really good, strong list, that's what we were sold on and that's what we felt comfortable that he was going to go and join. And then you do your own little due diligence and make sure that situation was right. And in the end, it was a great decision for him. He's happy. He'll finish his career at Port Adelaide. And, you know, it's worked out really well for him. But, yeah, you do try and read the wind a little bit and make sure that you're prepared should that decision or rather that opportunity arise.
Marty, I heard Justin Lepich talk maybe a week or two ago, and he spoke around getting to a point where you don't need the player's consent, I think he said, to trade a player. What do you make of that? And do you think we'll ever get to that point where, like maybe in NBA, I don't know how it works in American sports, but you can be traded against your will or without, the player having to agree to or a manager agreeing to it?
Yeah, it's an interesting debate. And look, to be honest, I don't know 100% where I sit with it sitting here right now, because I can see from the argument from club land, and then I can certainly see the argument from player. And then there's obviously the middle. And the middle ground are situations where you need to look into it a little bit further in the sense that, yes, American sports look good, but remember that minimum contracts in America are north of $1 million. So to pick up a bloke and just plonk him somewhere overnight and he's sitting on $1 million and he's got the lifestyle and the ability to support that is a hell of a lot different than potentially a guy on $120,000 and $4,000 a game. So there's different complexities that go into it. Yes, the top end of the market, and I think everybody looks at the top end of the market where someone's on $800,000 and they can move and they should be okay. They can rent a house. They can adjust and manage. But that's not everybody in the competition. Whereas in the American sports, everybody's the minimum wages are enormous salaries. and they can adjust it, and they can basically survive and be able to do it. So I worry about that bottom end in the sense of the financial impact of what it has and families. And a lot of the time too, a lot of these guys, they have two working people in their family. So they have a wife or a girlfriend that works to be able to, you know, sustain that income. So not everyone's on the big money like they are in these American sports, which is the example that you mentioned and everyone mentioned. So that's one argument that I think that people probably need to explore a little bit further and how that impacts. But then the other side of the argument too is, you mentioned the Ryan Burton situation just before. So clubs do have the opportunity to trade a player even though he's contracted as well. So those conversations do happen. And I already probably have heard six or seven on your show already where these guys are contracted or have a year to run on their contract. So clubs now are having these mature conversations with players anyway. So very rarely do you get a situation where a club says, hey, explore your options, even though you've got a year to run on your contract, and then all of a sudden they come back to the footy club. Often you'll find that when a club says that to them and they've got a year to run on their contract, they tend to leave. So there is that power, in a sense, with the club anyway, where if you have a mature conversation and you want the desired outcome, whether it be I have to clear money in my salary cap, or you're not going to get opportunity, whatever it may be, those conversations do tend to take place anyway.
Marty Pask is the Managing Director of Capital Sports Group. He joins us this morning. Might work through a couple of your players, if you don't mind, Marty. You know the way this works. Charlie Constable, I believe your business looks after. 12 games in 3 years and looking surely for more opportunities. Where's he at?
The football club and Charlie, and we've had a good dialogue all year around opportunity and the need for opportunity. There's obviously the door's not shut on Charlie to return to Geelong. They've obviously got a very open mind in terms of where he may sit in 12 months, 18 months down the track and with opportunity. But should an opportunity arise now, and it's a good one, and we're obviously kicking the tires a little bit in the marketplace at the moment, trying to find out where that sits, then obviously he'd look at it. But I mean, from my point of view, I've been doing this a while, and the ability for him at the second tier competition and what he does is nothing short of outstanding. And, you know, I'd like to look at him in the marketplace as somebody that is getting a player that they can rely on and count on, and to give him an opportunity, because he thoroughly deserves it. If you look at his numbers, and even when he's come into the AFL, he's performed. So I think we'll know more in the next couple of weeks, but we're very open-minded where he sits.
What's the interest been like in him?
Moderate. The other complexity we've got in this market at the moment is where list sizes sit and how many spots clubs want to take to the draft. And obviously the eyeballs on talent this year hasn't been what it's been in previous years. So what clubs do at trade period in terms of that extra list spot, whether they carry it to the draft and use it on a late pick versus bringing in a Charlie or re-signing one of their own players that for another 12 months because they just haven't seen enough talent this year. So I don't know where the draft currently sits, whether or not we're going to have another 50 picks or 60 picks like last year, because some of the better players this year, they've probably only been seen 7 or 8 times because of COVID. So that's another complexity that comes into it, and whether or not that affects someone like Charlie getting on a list. But look, we'll just have to see how the next couple of weeks pan out.
Western Bulldogs have a heap of players out of contract next year. One of them is Caleb Daniel, a star of the competition. He'll be a free agent. Are you looking to renegotiate his deal now and extend?
Oh, we'd be happy to always have an open dialogue with the Western Bulldogs, absolutely. I mean, he's done really well. He's built a really good career, All-Australian, premiership player, best and fairest winner at the club. In terms of where that sits, yeah, I mean, you never shut the door and say, oh, no, we'll do it at this time or whatever. I'd be happy, and Sam and I have only spoken probably a few months ago around, look, there's probably one at the end of the season that we'll at least sit down and have a preliminary chat around. He's obviously a free agent. He's done very well. And, I mean, he's a player that you're really proud of because, I mean, you can only remember when he started that, you know, there was a lot of knock on where he'd fit at the AFL level, and what he'd be able to do and what position he'd be able to play, and whether or not there would be AFL interest. And geez, he's really been a pioneer for the smaller player and people that can use it really well and make good decisions, and you can obviously utilise it in your back half, front half. He's just been a huge player. So definitely we're obviously keen to chat to the Bulldogs whenever they're happy to take a deep breath after a grand final and the trade period, and I'm sure that'll start talking in the off season.
Marty, you also look after Ben Hobbs, who a lot of our listeners wouldn't have heard of, but he's going to be most likely a top 10 selection in this year's draft. How is the draft viewed from your perspective in terms of the strength of it, and what type of players will be form that top 10 selections?
Yeah, there's some good players in the top 10, I believe, in terms of a midfielder. So Ben, for example, that you mentioned, you're just getting a ready-made inside mid that can win his own footy and go forward and take a nice catch, and he's got leadership quality. So he's got some serious interest in that top half of the top 10. But there's some really good players there that are around that nice sort of midfield size between 180 and 190 that I believe is pretty deep this year. So everyone pretty much knows that, you know, Dacos and Darcy would be probably the first two that get bid on. And then I'd say there'd be Horn, Callaghan, Hobbs, Ward, Rochelle. These sort of guys are fairly good players that I feel that could come in the sides and make an impact reasonably quickly. They've each got a point of difference. I mean, obviously, Dacos is very good on the outside and he's got leg speed. Callaghan's that nice, longer sort of mid-size mid that's a little bit leaner and can run really, really well, good on the outside. And Ward's pretty similar to Hobbs in the sense that can win his own footy and is very good in the midfield as well. So I think the clubs that hold picks sort of between 1 and 12 are going to get a very nice player that can play for their footy club for a fair while. But like I said earlier, I think the worry and what's a little bit of a lottery is probably going to be anything, you know, from the third round back, and you know, how much clubs have actually physically seen these guys live. And then what else is going to be really cool, I think, for the AFL fan is the mid-season next year. I think you'll find a lot of clubs either leave open an SSP spot over the summer because they need to see these guys a little bit longer, or they'll target some of these guys. Like, you look at guys like Sammy Durham at Essendon this year that came into a revitalised Essendon side, played a final. He wasn't even the radar in the national draft due to COVID because he just hadn't been seen enough. But obviously comes in the mid-season, plays really, really well, and is obviously going to be hopefully now a long-term Essendon player. So those sorts of situations will happen a lot more out of this draft, where in a normal year you probably see 80 picks in the draft and they go a bit later, but we'll probably see lesser picks and maybe some more spots open up with SSP or mid-season.
Hey, Marty, thanks so much for your time, mate, and good luck in what is going to be a very busy next couple of weeks. Really appreciate you joining us this morning.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Always good to
prominent
chat.
Prominent player agent Marty Pass there joining us from Capital Sports Group. This is the Early Trade for Tyre Power, here to help you stay safe on the roads. And for Bunnings Trade, helping business is their trade. Back to dissect all of that on the other side of this.
You're listening to Continental Tyres AFL Trade Radio. Continental Tyres. When everything counts, count on Continental. The Early Trade for Tyre Power. Tyre Power. Tyre experts you should always trade with. And for Bunnings. Bunnings Trade. Helping business is their trade.
A trade news update for Beaumont Tiles.
Yes, it is a trade news update for the Beaumont Tiles Trade Club. Visit icanwin.com.au. At the Bulldogs, Mitch Wallace, Lordo, has a two-year deal on the table for him. He's got a bit of a decision to make. He's an unrestricted free agent, of course. He just played 7 games this year after having a very good season last year that he was rewarded with the vice captaincy. 2 years for him, a club that he loves, but clearly wasn't in their best side this year, and some others like Waitman had gone ahead of him. Yeah, it's an interesting one. I'm surprised they did offer him 2 years. What would you do?
Exactly what I was about to say, Kane. I'm surprised they've offered him 2 years, considering that he hasn't been, it looked like, being in their side this year. Jamara Ugle-Hagan and Darcy as well in the mix. I know completely different sort of players, but they'll play next year. And you've got Vandermeer, you've got Anthony Scott, Cody Waitman, who have all probably gone past him as well. So yeah, if I was Mitch Wallace, I'd be looking for a new home.
Let us know your thoughts on that, Dogs fans, or is there anywhere that he could find a destination? 0419 187 323. If you want to send us a text at Melbourne, they've informed Jay Lockhart, Aaron Nitschke, and also Austin Bradkey that they won't be offered a contract for the 2022 season. In addition, Aaron Vandenberg and the club have agreed that the midfielder will seek opportunities elsewhere after 51 games in the red and blue. That was a trade news update for the Beaumont Tiles Trade Club. Visit icanwin.com.au. Tim English, we sort of touched on it around about off the top of the show. If you're just joining us, there's a report in the Herald Sun today that his partner has signed a 2-year contract to play netball out west, I think, Lordo. And there's also a report that he has held off contract negotiations until partway through next year. 24 years of age, was recruited as a ruckman, but hasn't been able to hold down a ruck position and was exposed throughout the year. And with the forward line you just mentioned, Ugle-Hagan, Aaron Norton and Sam Day, he looks more of a forward to me, but you can't play all four. So is he one that the Western Bulldogs may look to deal this year before he comes out of contract at the end of next year?
Well, we spoke about Dunkley earlier in the program around the depth they've got through that area. And then with Darcy coming in, it allows them great flexibility again, because Darcy, another boy I've been fortunate enough to coach against, he's a ruck forward, took the competition by storm. Scotch were dominant. He kicked 5 goals in each of the first 3 games that he played, and he went from maybe being a prospect to being top two in the country. So that's the growth in Darcy this year. Real competitor, hates being beaten. So fantastic there. So I don't think they'll want to lose English, because you'd love to have English and Darcy together for a period of time. But it just always makes me nervous if I was a Western Bulldog when they put it off till middle of the next year. It buys a player time. And when your partner signs a 2-year deal, it's hard to, you've seen with Adam Treloar, it's been difficult, really difficult for him, particularly with it when a child's involved. So, yeah, you just wonder with Nat Nui coming to the end, whether potentially Sean Darcy looks really good at Fremantle, whether West Coast would have their eyes on Tim English.
Just what West Coast have, because they don't have a lot to give up because of what they paid to get Tim Kelly and others in. So in terms of a draft hand, they may have to work their way through that. Let us know your thoughts. Let's get to a couple of your text messages. Morning, boys. I'm a huge Matty Lloyd fan. If Hurley can get back to full health, can he be the second key forward next year alongside Peter Wright and Harry Jones, says Chuck.
It's a big if, unfortunately, Chuck, because I think it's my understanding is that Michael has had another surgery. Then after that, the decision will be whether Michael can get back to try and play or even have a crack to try and play. So he's just been through absolute hell, unfortunately, Michael. At this stage, it's just seeing him hopefully get back to full health before worrying about football at this stage.
If I'm a Port fan, I'm packaging up pick 16 and either Cleary or Laddams and next year's first pick to get McRae from the Bulldogs. Offer him $900,000 over 5 years. He's a free agent next year, so the Dogs might not get anything. He's on the same level as Merritt, and we would have to deal with Essendon as well if we wanted him. No way Essendon would have accepted the compensation pick. These midfielders are going to be fascinating as every club tries to get 2, 3, 4, and the Western Bulldogs have got 6 or 7. I can't see a way that the Western Bulldogs will be trading away a player who was just voted the best player throughout the final series and had more possessions than anyone else in the history of the game for a pick 16 and even another first round pick in Tom Cleary or Laddam. So I think that's unlikely there for Port Adelaide. The Crows getting Dawson through the door sets them up next year with the draft to make a play for Lukosius and Rankin, as we won't get them this year unless Rankin comes out and requests a trade, which I'm not ruling out yet, says Daniel, who is in Mount Barker. It's interesting with Lukosius and Rankin, Lordo. Like, we're still talking about potential, aren't we? And we've seen flashes of Rankin, the way that he started his career, but I mean, he was dropped for Gold Coast, a team who didn't play finals this year and hasn't been able to hold down a spot. And Lukosius, whilst he's more reliable than Rankin, I don't think he's developed the way that I thought he would have, and whether that's the environment or not. But how much would you, I mean, there's the link to South Australia, but how much do you pay and give up for players that you're just rewarding on potential?
Yeah, it's an interesting one with them, Kane, because I think Tuk Miller become the third All-Australian in the history of their club. Yeah. Behind Ablett and Tom Lynch. So that's what they've got to look at here at the Gold Coast Suns, is the players aren't developing. I think Ben Ainsworth is a really good player, but he hasn't made it. Jack Bowes, people said to me, Bowes is going to be a superstar, but he hasn't been. And then Will Brody and all these blokes, Jack Scrimshaw was there. They just haven't been able to, and it's no doubt it's the environment. And that's Stewie Jew's big challenge, and the club's big challenge is, I've spoken about the waves for years. The waves, they've lost one wave of players, then another wave, and it can't be Lukosius, King and Rankin in the next. Rankin, what about the first lot of games that he played? They were amazing. Phenomenal.
Amazing.
So we see what he's got. Lukosius, I think, would be a quality player in a top-end side, but they just don't know how to win. They don't know how to win more in consecutive weeks. They don't know how to see out a season, and I think that stifles the development of players. So we see why May and Lynch get to a point where, I can't handle this anymore. I need to get out. So I think they'll be brilliant players at another club. So that's where the Suns have to get the first 10, 12 weeks right of next season. Otherwise, I can see a really bad off-season trade period next year where multiple players want out.
Well said. This is the early trade for Tyre Power. Tyre experts you should always trade with, and for Bunnings Trade. Bunnings Trade, helping business is their trade. On the other side of this, there's lines available right now. You can jump on the Kogan Mobile open line, 1300 23 55 48, and join in the conversation with us next.
You're listening to Continental Tyres AFL Trade Radio. Continental Tyres. When everything counts, count on Continental. The early trade for Tyre Power. Tyre Power, tyre experts you should always trade with. And for Bunnings. Bunnings Trade, helping business is their trade.
A trade news update for Beaumont Tiles.
Yes, it is a trade news update for the Beaumont Tiles Trade Club. Visit icanwin.com.au. At the Bulldogs, Mitch Wallace, Slaughter, has a two-year deal on the table for him. He's got a bit of a decision to make. He's an unrestricted free agent. Of course, he just played 7 games this year after having a very good season last year that he was rewarded with the vice captaincy. 2 years for him, a club that he loves, but clearly wasn't in their best side this year, and some others like Waitman had gone ahead of him. It's an interesting one. I'm surprised they did offer him 2 years. What would you do?
Exactly what I was about to say, Kane. I'm surprised they've offered him 2 years, considering that he hasn't been, it looked like, being in their side this year. Jamara Ugle-Hagan and Darcy as well in the mix. I know completely different sort of players, but they'll play next year. And you've got Vandermeer, you've got Anthony Scott, Cody Waitman, who have all probably gone past him as well. So yeah, if I was Mitch Wallace, I'd be looking for a new home.
Let us know your thoughts on that, Dogs fans, or is there anywhere that he could find a destination? 0419 187 323. If you want to send us a text at Melbourne, they've informed Jay Lockhart, Aaron Nitschke, and also Austin Bradkey that they won't be offered a contract for the 2022 season. In addition, Aaron Vandenberg and the club have agreed that the midfielder will seek opportunities elsewhere after 51 games in the red and blue. That was a trade news update for the Beaumont Tiles Trade Club. Visit icanwin.com.au. Tim English, we sort of touched on it around about off the top of the show. If you're just joining us, there's a report in the Herald Sun today that his partner has signed a 2-year contract to play netball out west, I think, Lordo. And there's also a report that he has held off contract negotiations until partway through next year. 24 years of age, was recruited as a ruckman, but hasn't been able to hold down a ruck position and was exposed throughout the year. And with the forward line you just mentioned, Ugle-Hagan, Aaron Norton and Sam, he looks more of a forward to me, but you can't play all four. So is he one that the Western Bulldogs may look to deal this year before he comes out of contract at the end of next year?
Well, we spoke about Dunkley earlier in the program around the depth they've got through that area. And then with Darcy coming in, it allows them great flexibility again, because Darcy, another boy I've been fortunate enough to coach against, he's a ruck forward, took the competition by storm. Scotch were dominant. He kicked 5 goals in each of the first 3 games that he played, and he went from maybe being a prospect to being top 2 in the country. So that's the growth in Darcy this year. Real competitor, hates being beaten. So fantastic there. So I don't think they'll want to lose English, because you'd love to have English and Darcy together for a period of time. But it just always makes me nervous if I was a Western Bulldog when they put it off till middle of the next year. It buys a player time. And when your partner signs a 2-year deal, it's hard to, you've seen with Adam Treloar, it's been difficult, really difficult for him, particularly with it when a child's involved. So, you just wonder with Nat Nui coming to the end, whether potentially Sean Darcy looks really good at Fremantle, whether West Coast would have their eyes on Tim English.
Just what West Coast have, because they don't have a lot to give up because of what they paid to get Tim Kelly and others in. So in terms of a draft hand, they may have to work their way through that. Let us know your thoughts. Let's get to a couple of your text messages. Morning, boys. I'm a huge Matty Lloyd fan. If Hurley can get back to full health, can he be the second key forward next year alongside Peter Wright and Harry Jones, says Chuck.
It's a big if, unfortunately, Chuck, because I think it's my understanding is that Michael has had another surgery. Then after that, the decision will be whether Michael can get back to try and play, or even have a crack to try and play. So he's just been through absolute hell, unfortunately, Michael. At this stage, it's just seeing him hopefully get back to full health before worrying about football at this stage.
If I'm a Port fan, I'm packaging up pick 16 and either Cleary or Laddams and next year's first pick to get McRae from the Bulldogs. Offer him $900,000 over 5 years. He's a free agent next year, so the Dogs might not get anything. He's on the same level as Merritt, and we would have to deal with Essendon as well if we wanted him. No way Essendon would have accepted the compensation pick. These midfielders are going to be fascinating as every club tries to get 2, 3, 4, and the Western Bulldogs have got 6 or 7. I can't see a way that the Western Bulldogs will be trading away a player who was just voted the best player throughout the final series and had more possessions than anyone else in the history of the game for a pick 16 and even another first round pick in Tom Cleary or Laddams. So I think that's unlikely there for Port Adelaide. The Crows getting Dawson through the door sets them up next year with the draft to make a play for Lukosius and Rankin, as we won't get them this year unless Rankin comes out and requests a trade, which I'm not ruling out yet, says Daniel, who is in Mount Barker. It's interesting with Lukosius and Rankin, Lordo. Like, we're still talking about potential, aren't we? And we've seen flashes of Rankin, the way that he started his career, but I mean, he was dropped for Gold Coast, a team who didn't play finals this year and hasn't been able to hold down a spot. And Lukosius, whilst he's more reliable than Rankin, I don't think he's developed the way that I thought he would have, and whether that's the environment or not. But how much would you, there's the link to South Australia, but how much do you pay and give up for players that you're just rewarding on potential?
Yeah, it's an interesting one with them, Kane, because I think Tuk Miller become the third All-Australian in the history of their club. Yeah. Behind Ablett and Tom Lynch. So that's what they've got to look at here at the Gold Coast Suns, is the players aren't developing. I think Ben Ainsworth is a really good player, but he hasn't made it. Jack Bowes, people said to me, Bowes is going to be a superstar, but he hasn't been. And then Will Brody and all these blokes, Jack Scrimshaw was there. They just haven't been able to, and it's no doubt it's the environment. And that's Stewie Jew's big challenge, and the club's big challenge is, I've spoken about the waves for years. The waves, they've lost one wave of players, then another wave, and it can't be Lukosius, King, and Rankin in the next. Rankin, what about the first lot of games that he played? They were amazing. Phenomenal.
Amazing.
So we see what he's got. Lukosius, I think, would be a quality player in a top-end side, but they just don't know how to win. They don't know how to win more in consecutive weeks. They don't know how to see out a season, and I think that stifles the development of players. So we see why May and Lynch get to a point where, I can't handle this anymore. I need to get out. So I think they'll be brilliant players at another club. So that's where the Suns have to get the first 10, 12 weeks right of next season. Otherwise, I can see a really bad off-season trade period next year where multiple players want out.
Well said. This is the early trade for Tyre Power. Tyre experts you should always trade with, and for Bunnings Trade. Bunnings Trade, helping business is their trade. On the other side of this, there's lines available right now. You can jump on the Kogan Mobile open line, 1300 23 55 48, and join in the conversation with us next.
You're listening to Continental Tyres AFL Trade Radio. Continental Tyres. When everything counts, count on Continental.
At Contour Sprinkler, keeping your garden green is easy with Pope's PermaFit Connection no-leak garden hoses.
And that's how your garden grows.
Make the connection with Pope Garden Watering Systems, available at Bunnings Warehouse.
The early trade for Tyre Power. Tyre Power, tyre experts you should always trade with. And for Bunnings, Bunnings Trade, helping business is their trade. The Tough Conversations for Mosh. Seek hair loss treatment 100% online at getmosh.com.au.
Yeah, let's have a few of those tough conversations with you on the Kogan Mobile open line, 1300 23 55 48. Ryan is on the line in Caulfield. He wants to speak about Collingwood. G'day, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How are we?
We're good.
That's it. Look, just wanted to get your thoughts on Patrick Lipinski. Obviously, Dogs in need of a ruckman. Martin's not the answer long term, and English is questionable at the moment. Just wanted to know, get your thoughts if you think we could get it done in a straight swap for someone like Max Lynch.
Interesting one, Ryan. I think that there is talk that Max Lynch may want to explore his options. He got some games when Grundy was out and did a good job. He doesn't look to me like he's going to be an elite ruckman of the competition, Max Lynch, but. Yeah, it just depends what they place the worth on Lipinski. I don't think they have... he didn't play a lot of the season, so they can't value him in terms of put too much of a weight on him, the Western Bulldogs. But, yeah, it's good food for thought, Ryan, in terms of what the Western Bulldogs could potentially do in return for Patrick Lipinski.
He may be one of those players that you can get for not much, but have a big impact. This text coming through. Let's talk about the Pies signing Lipinski and Kruger, getting Nick Dacos and the young kids get a pre-season underneath their belt. What is realistic for them next season? New coach, a lot of new coaches, to be honest. But what would the aim be if you're Craig McRae, Lordo, in the back of his mind? What would be realistic, do you think, that they can achieve? It's still got Dugowie and Moore and Grundy and Pendlebury and Adams. Like there's a core group of players there that have played a lot of football, so I don't see them dropping away completely. I also probably don't think it's realistic to play finals, but how do you see it?
Shouldn't be any worse, Kane. They finished 17th, so yeah. And they've only won six games for the season, so I think it can only improve. I think the new coach, you always get a bit of a sugar hit early, but he's got to develop a game style, which will take some time. I think that it'll be a total change. We saw Nathan Buckley, the criticisms of how defensive it was, lateral kicks, slow ball movement. Then Robert Harvey comes in, just lets them play. But they only won two games under Robert Harvey playing that way. Their skill level, I think, is as poor as any team in the competition. So he's got a lot of work to do. But I think they will improve. I think they'll no doubt they'll win more than six games. I think they can win 8-10, in my opinion, next year.
Yeah, 8-10 would be a good result. Thank you to you, Ryan. Speaking about Collingwood, you got a question, let us know. 0419 187 323. Let's go to Yaz. Hasn't made a lot of Richmond talk, which is surprising. But Yaz, you want to speak about the Tigers. Good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me on, guys. Just wanted to sort of have a chat about any possible Richmond whispers, or I've heard something about Tom Green over at GWS, obviously with the Richmond Tigers and all that, and Dunstan from St Kilda, heard a bit of as well. Any sort of whispers from you guys?
Don't have any whispers other than Tarrant coming in. Look, their draft hand is strong, isn't it, Lordo? 7-15, 26-28. It's where Damien Hardwick and coaches that have experienced so much success. It's addictive, isn't it? Like winning is addictive, and Damien Hardwick may be going, look, well, these picks, they're great, but they're not going to help me next year. Do we look to do something for some experience? And that's where Tarrant comes into it. But will they use all of those picks? Some of them, they'll probably take pick 7 to the draft, but can they package up 15, 26 and the like to get in a more mature body? particularly through the midfield, I reckon. Like that's where I thought they really dropped away this year. Presty is always injured. Edwards is now, you know, well over the age of 30 and injured. We know Cochin's footy as well, his best footy as well, past him. So that midfield area is where I'd be looking to strengthen it up.
And yes, it's interesting now with the forward line too, with Chol and Coleman Jones both looking to leave your football club, what they do in that regard. So they may look to use, you know, seven, you just take the best available player in the draft. And then 15, there is a couple of key forwards that'll go around that pick that you may well look at to replace Coleman Jones and obviously maybe old Chol. So yeah, interesting times at Tigerland.
And you know, Peter Laddams is there. I mean, there's not many ruckmen on the market now, but Nan Curvis, he's only, I think, 26 years of age or about to turn 27, but he looks like a player who has played a lot of footy and he's a little bit banged up. I'm a big Lloydy fan. On the text says, with Waller getting on a little bit, we need another small forward before the Davey twins come in a few years' time. Should we look at a cheaper option in plucking Tyson Stengel if he's interested or offer up a first pick for Isaac Rankin, says our Lordo. Do you see Essendon's small forwards as an issue like he does?
Will Snelling was, I think, top three in the best and fairest this year, which surprised me.
Yeah.
You know, it did surprise me. Obviously, love the role that he plays. The Davey twins, two boys again, get to coach against this year. They're at Xavier College boys, the Davey twins, and one's more advanced than the other from what my view is in regards to an opportunity on an AFL list. But, yeah, exciting for them. But, no, I don't see too much of an issue with the smalls. It's more the talls and key position players that probably concern me the most at the Bombers.
A lot of Saints fans restless as well. They want to know what's happening with them. Finals last year, win a final, drop off this year, clearly with a pretty ordinary start to the year. So tell me about the Saints, they say. What do we need to improve on the 2021 season after making finals in 2020? Or do you write this season off because of the amount of injury St Kilda dealt with? Our best can match it with the top teams and our worst is embarrassing. Talk me through where my beloved Saints go from here, says Rob. Well, I'm reading reports in the Herald Sun. It appears as though their focus is to get to the draft, Lordo. Now, that's probably not going to help them next year. Do they have the nucleus of a squad to do what Melbourne have done? And we spoke a lot about Melbourne last year. I mean, not playing finals to winning a premiership. It can be done. Is that St Kilda or someone else looking to make a charge outside of the eight to potentially the business end of finals next year? The Saints are an interesting one for me.
They are very interesting, and I love their tools. So they've got Rowan Marshall and King, who you can, guns. Both of them absolute guns. Sharman comes through out of nowhere and looked really, really good. So that was one that a mid-season draft pick, which they got right. Dougal Howard, good strong player in the back line. So it's just that midfield again that you see what Melbourne did, see what the Western Bulldogs did. That's the area of concern. It's interesting that they've loaded up for a period of time and now they're deciding, Frawley, McKernan, Hill, Crouch, they probably thought they were thereabouts. Now it's about
Jones.
About going to the draft. Yeah. So maybe we've spoken about this. So they probably thought they were ahead of where they are and now is a real reality check this season that, yeah, they can't keep bringing in players like they have and they've got to go to the draft.
Yeah, that's the thing that is really hard to do is to have a plan and to stick to it and see it out. You know, the clubs that chop and change, and we probably saw that with North Melbourne for a long time, around the mark, you know, keep going.
Port did a little bit too, didn't they?
Absolutely, yeah. Port did it with the players that they brought in, Paddy Ryder, heaps of them, and time and time again. I think they've now got their strategy right where there's salary cap room. They've invested heavily in multiple first-round draft picks to have the senior player to support them. But having the patience to have a plan and stick to it, and one that can take 8-9 years, like we saw with Richmond and like we've probably seen with Melbourne, is probably the hardest thing when you're building a list. Does Collingwood need to offload a top player such as Sidebottom, Degoe or Elliott to get a better draft hand and free up some more salary cap space? Do they need to or have room to have a crack at Ben King next year? Lordo, their forward line at the Pies, my check is not a number one forward. Mason Cox has been tried multiple times. He's not the guy. Darcy Moore has been tried as a forward. That failed. they're desperately in need of a key forward, the Pies.
And I wonder if Grundy's in that mix too, to potentially look at over the this year, next year, whether Grundy, they offload Brody Grundy as well. It's a big call. Side bottom, you know, at his age, no. Jamie Elliott at his age and body, no. DeGoey and Brody Grundy, Kane, are the two. I just look at this board we've got in front of us, the Continental Tires Trade Radio board. Pick two, the Giants, received from Collingwood in 2020. Wouldn't you love to get that back? And you get Dacos plus another one to build for your future. And that's where they could potentially look at offloading a player who's got a lot of currency right now, like DeGoey or Grundy, just to load up and bring someone else in along with Dacos while you've got a honeymoon period with Craig McRae.
That was the Tough Conversations for Mosh, Men's Health Made Easy. This is The Early Trade with Matty Lloyd and myself, Kane Corns. We'll be back to take some more of your calls and wrap things up on The Early Trade on the other side of this.
You're listening to Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. Continental Tires, when everything counts, counts on Continental. The Early Trade for Tyre Power. Tyre Power, tyre experts you should always trade with. And for Bunnings. Bunnings Trade. Helping business is their trade.
A trade news update.
For Mate Internet and Mobile. Mate, award-winning Aussie service. Mobile plans from $20.
Let me just put my microphone on. That'll work. This is The Early Trade for Tyre Power, here to help you stay safe on the road, and for Bunnings Trade, helping business is their trade. The news around the place, Port Adelaide's Riley Bonner and Robbie Gray have agreed to one-year deals, but defender Jared Leanett remains uncontracted and is likely to look for more opportunities. It's a tough one, isn't it, for those great players like Robbie Gray, and we've seen it. Probably with Trent Cotchin getting another deal. Joel Selwood is probably in that category. The last years of how they spend their careers and how the club handles them, it's always a delicate balancing act, isn't it?
It is, Kane, and it has to be done respectfully, I suppose, yeah. But at the same time, you don't want to stifle young guys coming through. So at least with Robbie Gray, he'd be thinking, okay, one more year, we're a chance for a flag next year, you'd hope, at Port Adelaide. I think Trent Cotchin will be hoping there's one more tilt left in his side. And Geelong, I look forward to talking Geelong with you over the coming days and weeks, because significant change there, you know, with their coaching staff and hearing all sorts of things with Scarlett leaving and Enright and where Chris Scott's at. And even Damo on Access All Areas yesterday finished the show. He dropped the bomb about 16 minutes into our 20-minute show, saying that he's not sold 100% that Chris Scott coaches Geelong next season.
Wow.
So I presume he will, but there's still a little bit of talk around Hocking. You know, he loves change, and whether he's sold yet on Chris Scott. But I know it's hard to move on a coach with a year to go. But it was interesting from Damo yesterday.
You wouldn't want to go into next year, any coach that is, out of contract with Clarkson. You know, and whether that's right or wrong, Alistair Clarkson has loaded a heap of pressure on, well, pretty much nearly every coach in the competition, with the fact that he is looking not to coach next year, but probably definitely the year after and halfway through next year. So if you're out of contract and your team starts poorly, that pressure is going to be there, and we're going to speak about that at length. Some more news around the place. Sam Edmund reporting on Peter Laddams. He said he had a pretty blunt exit meeting. He was happy. He grew up as a Port supporter. He has a back-ended deal, so he was happy to help the club out. Now he's been told to look around. That hasn't sat too well. There's a lot goes on in these exit interviews, a lot that isn't reported and some that is. I was always really nervous going to these exit interviews, because you've sort of got a view on how you think your season has been, but sometimes it doesn't line up with that of the club. So, some players can go in there quite comfortable and come out, half an hour later and their life has been completely changed, knowing that the club wants to put them up for trade and you may have to move state. So Peter Laddams doesn't seem to be too happy with the way things have been handled at Port Adelaide.
Yeah, and there's different personalities. Some players will go, well, I'm out of here. But obviously, it's only two teams in that state, so he might be settled in Adelaide. But some also go, no, I'm going to back myself in. Yeah, they may have said those things to me, but I'm going to knuckle down and see if I can turn things around. But it's interesting. Laddams, I thought he had a solid season. So, and I wonder, Kane, after Lysette, who's the next best in the ruck there?
Yeah, they have a young player called Sam Hayes who hasn't had the opportunity, but they rate him highly, but he hasn't had the aerobic base yet to be able to compete. But I hear that and I think, well, you rate him highly, and I keep hearing that he's a good prospect. But Lysette was suspended for 4 weeks this year, and he didn't get an opportunity, Hayes. So if you rated him that highly, that was the time to give him the experience of at least one or two games. They didn't give him that. But now maybe they're looking to build him up through the preseason and give him more opportunities next year. Collingwood are really confident that they're going to get Pat Lipinski, which we've spoken about, from the Bulldogs, and Nathan Kruger from the Cats. And the Hawks forward/defender, which one is it? Tim O'Brien is still yet to get a contract, and clubs are inquiring about him, including Port Adelaide. I don't understand why Port Adelaide would be looking for a forward. I've seen the Finlayson doing a medical in Adelaide, and now Tim O'Brien. That is not the way that I'd be going if I was Port Adelaide. You've got Georgiades, Laddams, you've got Dixon still left with a 2-year contract. To get a Tim O'Brien in, who has been an inconsistent forward who probably hasn't competed like he needs to, is not a move that I would be doing if I was Port Adelaide. But that was a trade news update for Mayo Internet and Mobile, Australia's most satisfied NBN customers' internet from just $59. And this has been Continental Tyres AFL Trade Radio. When you need tyres, ask for Continental, continental-tyres.com.au. Nicky Del Santo and Brendan Goddard are up next, Lordo. And if you've got any suggestions for Lordo's list, just tweet him. He loves it when the people tweet him. So find his Twitter handle, Matty Lloyd, look him up, or you can do it at Trade Radio and send us through some suggestions for Lordo's world-famous list.
And I'll give attribution too, Kane. I'll be pumping up that person who gives
some ideas. Content. He loves content. Lordo, great stuff. As always,
thanks,
we'll see you again from 7 o'clock in the morning. Trade Radio's got you covered right throughout the day. Joining you next with Trade Mornings, Nick Del Santo and Brendan Goddard, a couple of St Kilda champions.